First, we're taking a look at what to expect if you're flying in the coming months. 2023 has had the highest rate of flight delays since 2014. So far, things not looking up this summer. More than one in five flights are delayed, according to the U.S. Department of Transportation. The Biden administration last month proposed rules that would force airlines to compensate passengers for expenses resulting from cancellations and significant delays. In the meantime, it's up to the airlines themselves to decide how that compensation works. We're talking about summer air travel, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been on a plane this summer so far, this year so far? Did everything go smoothly, or did you encounter a delay, a cancellation? Have you ever had a big delay? Did you get anything from the airline from it? Were you part of the big Southwest fiasco at the end of last year? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Laura Albert is a professor of industrial and systems engineering at the UW-Madison College of Engineering. Her research focuses on modeling and solving real-world problems, including things like aviation security. Laura, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
First, I want to get your thoughts on these rules proposed by the Biden administration, insisting that airlines would have to compensate us if we get canceled or bumped back too long. What are your thoughts on those?
I'm generally a fan of making travel more fun and a little less expensive. One thing to keep in mind is this comes on the tail of a lot of delayed flights. You mentioned the Southwest fiasco, where there are a lot of canceled flights that honestly were preventable had Southwest taken proper steps to update their software so those delays wouldn't happen. Last year, we also saw a huge jump in airline fees, and that's due to inflation, but also all these labor shortages. The silver lining is that this year, air travel isn't necessarily supposed to be more expensive than it was last year when we had that jump up. But people are paying a lot for tickets, and then they have these delays, many of which can be prevented and aren't, and then it becomes very expensive for the consumer. And I think it's good to have some reasonable protections for consumers, and these are in line with the European Union's protection. So it's really not groundbreaking. It's really getting us probably to where we should have been.
Yeah, and it's things like not just, you know, we're going to fly you there eventually. It's also meals and accommodations and things like that, which airlines do sometimes provide, but they're not obliged to under federal law, as I understand it currently, Laura.
Exactly. And it can be very piecemeal. And, you know, I fly a lot. I've asked for some kind of reimbursement and occasionally I get a meal, which is better than nothing. But sometimes it's been on the consumer to ask and really depends on the airline and the type of delay. So this will be stronger protections for the consumer.
And this particular guideline would be for cancellations and significant delays caused by things within the airline's control, you know, not just bad weather and things like that. Looking at the delays we see over the last year, you mentioned Southwest. A lot of that was under the airline's control. How many of the delays we see now are, you know, preventable as opposed to, you know, acts of nature that we can't do anything about?
A lot of them are preventable, and it's kind of surprising that so many are preventable because typically it seems like weather delays my flights, but some of the ways that the preventable delays occur can be flight crew, maybe somebody called in sick and they didn't have a good backup, maintenance problems, various other crew problems, crew not getting to where they need to be, airline cleaning that's slow. There could be delays due to baggage loading. And then of course the big Southwest software delay that debacle led to a lot of cancellations actually. So some of this is due to the labor shortages and the labor issues that we've seen just across many different industries in the past few years. There's a lot of new employees in a lot of industries, and maybe they don't know all the protocols as well. There might be staffing shortages. Hopefully this will be smoothed out over time. And this new rule that's proposed provides a huge incentive for airlines to get it together and really provide a pleasant flying experience for passengers.
Talking to Laura Albert with UW-Madison College of Engineering, looking at air travel, delays, cancellations, how smoothly things go. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Love to hear your report on the state of air travel, if you've encountered it, if things went well, if things went poorly. Love to hear your story at 800-642-1234. And if you work in this industry for an airline, at an airport, in TSA, love to hear what you're seeing as well. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Laura, let's walk into that airport. And of course, we're headed over to TSA security. What kind of lines, what kind of delays are we seeing there these days?
Unfortunately, we're seeing really long lines this summer. This is because travel is at the pre-pandemic level this summer, sometimes even exceeding pre-pandemic level. And a moment ago, I pointed out there have been labor shortages, and we're still seeing that at airports. The longer lines are longer at the hub airports, and particularly at the DC and New York area airports, where they just have more labor shortages. The goal for TSA is to get everybody through security in 30 minutes and 10 minutes in a pre-check line. There is some good news for travelers that have pre-check, is that the TSA started moving children aged 13 to 17 into the pre-check line if they're traveling with a parent or guardian who has pre-check. Before, it was just children ages 0 to 12. So it's a little bit easier to travel with children in pre-check and get into that faster pre-check line. Having said that, the TSA is not meeting its 30-minute goal in many airports, mostly hub airports throughout the country. So give a little extra time to fly or fly out of a smaller airport like Madison, where you're less likely to wait.
As someone who studies this, Laura, and as you mentioned, somebody who flies a lot, what are your rules of thumb for how early to get to that airport before our flight?
I do have TSA pre-check, and I usually arrive about an hour ahead of time, check my bag, go through security, and I've been doing that for a long time. This year, I'm giving myself a little extra time just in case, because it's not just the congestion at the security checkpoint. There's also congestion checking a bag due to kind of these widespread labor shortages and just more travelers and therefore more queuing. So usually I'm giving myself an extra 15 to 30 minutes when I go to an airport.
When you say an hour ahead of time, is that an hour ahead of the flight's departure time or the start boarding time? They're different.
Usually the departure time. And I'm also flying out of Madison a lot, so I can, it's very reliably short TSA pre-check lines. When I'm flying back, I sometimes give myself a little extra time.
Now, how about the cost comparison? You mentioned the advantages of going into that smaller airport, but it tends to cost a little more, and you have that extra connection. How do you balance those out?
The challenge is that I live in Madison, and we're finding that Madison is actually one of the most expensive airports to fly in and out of in the country. So it's not always the case that flying out of a smaller airport is more expensive, but it is for us in Madison, which also leads to the frustration if flights are delayed for reasons that could be prevented.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Rebecca is with us in Milwaukee. Rebecca, hi.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good. What do you want to tell us about?
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling because I'm a frequent flyer, and I do travel back and forth to Canada a lot, typically using Air Canada or United. And what I find with those airlines in particular, in terms of compensation for delays, they love to hide mechanical issues in weather. So what will happen is you'll get to the airport and there will be a mechanical issue that you're told about. And then weather might take over, like while you're waiting during the delay. And then they love to call it weather, so they won't compensate you. So it's happened to me multiple times. And then all they have on the record when you inquire is that it was weather related, so they don't compensate. So is there any way to deal with that? Do you have any advice?
Interesting question, Rebecca. Is this something you think happens often, Laura? There's maybe a mechanical problem somewhere there. But yeah, it was weather.
I've certainly heard of this. And you know, you are at the mercy of how they classify it, because even the proposed rules would not lead to these broad protections for weather. And so, unfortunately, all you could do is call the airline and complain. But once it gets classified in a certain way, it's there's not a lot you can do in real time as a flyer.
All right. right. Good luck, Rebecca. Thanks for calling in. We're talking about air travel this summer, the kind of delays we might run into along the way. Laura Albert stays with us, professor of industrial and systems engineering at UW-Madison. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have travel plans? Do they involve flying this summer? If you're looking for airfares, are you seeing higher price tags than you might have expected? Do you have advice for making flying less stressful? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about what to expect if you're flying this summer. Our guest is Laura Albert, professor of industrial and systems engineering at UW-Madison. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a best or worst air travel experience you've had? Do you want to see the government regulate airlines more to protect consumer rights? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Tim is with us in Hollandale. Tim, hi.
Hi. I had a pretty good experience, I guess. I fly over to Europe a lot, and I usually fly Aer Lingus to Ireland. And they overbooked last Christmas, and we called them up and said I was bumped from the flight, they immediately compensated me €600. They gave me business class on the next flight the next day and comped my hotel and would have comped any food if I had I ate any between now then and when they picked me up. The worst flights I have is actually coming into Madison and going out of Madison. It's always delayed. It's always a hassle, and it's very expensive. So I'll have to contradict your guest there on that one.
Tim, thanks for the call. So first of all, that overbooking issue, Laura, as I understand, there is federal law requiring more compensation when the airline is overbooked versus that mechanical delay or things like that. But Tim also saying, I think the European system did well by him. Your thoughts on overbooking in the system?
Overbooking is a great strategy for the airlines. It actually helps them keep fares low. And in the U.S., there is some protection, and you know the airlines cannot force a passenger to take a different flight. But the guest points out how well it can be with protections to be bumped from a flight, and then that follow-up flight, when it's rebooked, can actually be quite pleasant. It doesn't lead to any out-of-pocket expenses for the traveler. So seeing those types of widespread protections is doable and can make flying a lot more pleasant.
Thanks for that call and sharing that. Heather joins us now in Waukesha. Heather, hi.
Hi. I'm actually part of a group of 10. We're flying out of Chicago tomorrow to go to Italy as a culinary student. So we're just trying to prepare ourselves as far as what we should expect going through TSA and making sure that we're all prepared for what we need to know ahead of time.
Okay, Heather, I got to ask, what are you studying in culinary in Italy? And can we have you on Food Friday when you get back?
So we are actually doing a lot of hands-on cooking over there. So everything will be hands-on. The chefs over in Italy will come to us. We're staying in a villa between Rome and Florence. So it's a small little town. Everybody will come to us. We'll go to local markets. I would love to go ahead and come back for Food Friday after I go over there and get to do a lot more hands-on.
Heather, thanks a lot. Or maybe there's room in Heather's luggage and I can stow away in that. Thanks a lot for the call. Heather, advice on a big international trip for a group like that, Laura, flying out of O'Hare. When to get there, what to expect on the way in.
I always leave a lot more time at airports for international flights. One thing that I'll do recently that I'd recommend is downloading the MyTSA app. This is maybe a reflection that lines have gotten a little bit longer, but the TSA has an app where you can monitor those security lines. So if you tend to be anxious about that, and many travelers are, that really helps monitor the lines. I also use other apps. My favorite is FlightAware to just check the status of my flights ahead of time. I can see where the plane is coming from and get a little automated alerts on my phone. Some of that helps manage some of the uncertainty with flying. The other thing that many travelers aren't aware of is it's possible to make an appointment at airport security. And actually, Rome is one of the places where you can make an appointment to go through security. Most of the time, you have to be a member of CLEAR, which has a membership cost per year, but it really can make traveling easier and getting through the airport a lot easier if you can reduce a lot of the uncertainty ahead of time.
Heather, thanks a lot for that call. Watch out. I think there was an airline strike or something in Italy. A friend of mine's kid had some trouble getting there not too long ago. So maybe check the papers on that, Heather. And thanks for the call. We're talking about air travel with Laura Albert, professor of industrial and systems engineering at UW-Madison. Laura, I wanted to talk some about, systems to prevent big problems. Let's start with Southwest at the end of last year. As I understand it, they do their routing a little differently than other airlines, what people call a point-to-point system. How are they different? What went wrong? Was it preventable?
Yeah, so what went wrong was with their software system that just couldn't handle the loads of people calling in sick with the Omicron variant. I believe it was just had a lot of manual processes that eventually just were too difficult to manage. And it sounds like it was more of a pain for the employees there than actual passengers until it became a really big problem. You're right in that Southwest has a point-to-point style where they don't have hubs and spokes like all of the other major airlines in the United States. It gives them a competitive advantage because they have a different structure and that they can fly direct flights to places that other airlines don't offer those direct flights. So that's a big part of their business model. And other airlines all use the hub and spoke system where everybody typically flies to a big hub, switches flights, and then takes a second flight to their destination. Both are challenging to manage disruptions. So disruptions do occur, especially large weather disruptions. What a lot of people don't know is regardless of the airline, that airlines are actually pretty good at recovering from weather disasters. And they use a lot of mathematical optimization and industrial engineering to get the passengers on the right flights to get to their destination, which is kind of remarkable given that flights do fill up. When you have to cancel a lot of flights or many people miss a connection, you can't just put them all on the next flight. There's a limited number of seats. And it's really amazing how just using math and managing all these different flight travel plans are able to manage some of those disruptions after the fact. And that's something that they do proactively that, can make things a little bit better when there is a disruption, could be worse. And that's one thing that they're doing well, but we'd like them to see fewer of these disruptions occur that can be avoided up front. And hopefully we see them make progress in that area in this next year.
Right. We've still seen some trouble. This isn't just a story about Southwest. Are there changes that airlines are making, could make to bring these high recent numbers of delays down? Is it just a matter of letting the labor pool catch up, or are there other things they could be doing?
Yeah, some of it is that. And I'd like to see them, as well as the TSA, be more aggressive in being able to hire employees, offer more generous benefit packages, offer startup or signing bonuses. I believe the TSA is starting to do that. That would really help. And then it's going to take some time to ensure that those employees are trained so that things like baggage handling is very smooth and doesn't lead to flight delays. So it's going to take a little while, but the more aggressive they can be in terms of compensating employees and encouraging more to apply, the better shape we'll be in.
And in terms of demand side, we hear about all these problems with airlines and, sounds like nightmare stories, especially with the Southwest thing. People are still flying, though, right? There's a lot of demand, a lot of people very happy to pay to go on a plane now.
Exactly. Here we are about three years after the pandemic, and travel reduced by 95% during the pandemic. So 3 years ago, travel decreased 95%. So it's actually quite remarkable that the system is working as well as it has, because there's, their labor pool went way down and then came back up. I'm not surprised that travel is bouncing back. People like to travel. And we saw it take a couple years after September 11th to fully bounce back. And there seems to be a human memory. And in this case, we had an ongoing pandemic. But it is nice to see that people are able to fly around the world, travel, take vacations.
All All right, we got a minute left. I'm going to ask maybe the nerdiest possible question. You talked about the math that airlines use to keep things flowing. What kinds of math are they plugging in here to make this work?
Yeah, can I say integer programming?
Because please
do. Exciting.
Like we could. I don't think we have to bleep that.
Okay. Yeah, so it's a large-scale optimization, and it's basically a lot of discrete math problems and discrete optimization problems. It's a lot of different decisions, figuring out which aircraft should be assigned to which flight, figuring how frequently they should fly between different pairs of city, and then also optimizing the crews. And so sometimes the flight's not delayed or the airplane isn't delayed, but the crew coming from another flight is. And all of those are a lot of decisions. And if there's one disruption, there's a lot of ripple effects, which is why it's so hard and why you need to use large-scale mathematical optimization, which essentially optimizes millions of decision variables at a time. And we have the algorithms and computer power to do that. And it's kind of beautiful.
Laura, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
That's Laura Albert, professor of industrial and systems engineering at the University of Wisconsin-Madison College of Engineering. Her research focuses on modeling and solving real-world problems, including things like aviation security. She joined us for a look at summer air travel. Still time for you to share your story, for better or worse, of air travel in the recent years. Let us know. Tell us about it over on our email, ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org.